Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Today, we return to a series on the seven Old Testament feasts. They're all laid out in Leviticus chapter 23. In order to listen to the earlier sermons in this series, you can go to benefitfromthebible.com. May God bless you today as you find out more about trumpets and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come back to your holy word, we come to Leviticus 23, and we come to the topic of the seven Old Testament feasts. As we return to our series today with the Feast of Trumpets, we pray that you would show us what your holy word is teaching about this festival. We pray that you would show us how it is pointing ahead to the return of your Son, Jesus Christ our Savior, and help us that we might make good application in our lives as we realize that your Son could come at any time. So we pray that you would ever keep us ready for his unexpected return. As the Bible says, he will come like a thief in the night. Grant us your blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, earlier this year we began a series on the seven Old Testament feasts. These are seven appointments that God made with his people, and all of them focus on Jesus. Let's do a quick review. The first three are Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. All three pointed ahead to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, while the fourth, Pentecost, pointed ahead to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So how does that connect with Jesus? It connects with Jesus because we need the Holy Spirit to unite us to Jesus, to give us faith to trust in him as our Savior. Those are the four spring feasts. Now we go on to the three fall feasts, which are called Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles. As the spring feasts pointed ahead to Jesus' first coming, so the fall feasts point ahead to his second coming. Today, our focus is on trumpets, also known by the name Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year, but Rosh Hashanah is not found in the Bible. The biblical name for trumpets is Yom Terah, which means the day of the blowing of the trumpet. It's referring to the ram's horn, to the shofar. Our focus in this series is on Leviticus chapter 23, which lays out feast after feast, all seven of them in order. Today, as we come to trumpets, we're looking at verses 23, 24, and 25. The Bible says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire.'" What I intend to do in this sermon is to simply take a look at some of the phrases I have just read, look at some of the details, how that relates to other parts in the Bible, and how that applies to our own New Testament Christian lives. First of all, we look at the phrase, the first day of the seventh month. When we say that, we're not talking about the month of July. We're talking about the seventh month in the Hebrew calendar, which is called Tishri. So on the first day of that seventh month, that is a day they are to celebrate trumpets. Thinking further about the Hebrew calendar, understand it is based on the moon, not on the sun. So each new moon is marking the first day of each month. So think about it like this. Many years ago, they had to determine when that new moon had appeared. So they had certain rabbis that were watching the moon very carefully, and they had to agree together and say, yes, That is the new moon. That's how the people knew they were at the beginning of the month. Think about how that parallels with Jesus' return. Jesus said in Mark 13, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time," in other words, "that time of my return will come." After giving an example, Jesus said, "What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." So thinking about the rabbis watching carefully for the new moon, what are we to be doing? We are to be watching carefully for Jesus to come again. And what are we to be watching? Well, we are to be watching by digging into the Word of God and by looking at what's going on in the world and seeing how those things line up. And as they begin to line up more and more, we know it's getting closer and closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We go on now, secondly today, to the phrase, a day of rest, a sacred assembly. As we think about rest, we can first of all think about God, after creating for 6 days, resting on the seventh. But here, though, day of rest literally means Sabbath observance. So it was a day when the people were to rest from their jobs. In other words, to do no regular work. Keep in mind that God gave that command to Moses, who lived about 1400 B.C. So from the time of Moses until Jesus fulfilled the law, the weekly practice was that every Saturday, that was a day with no regular work. So here with the Feast of Trumpets, we have an additional day of rest. So when the Feast of Trumpets would fall during a week, of course they had Saturday as their day of rest, and then whatever day the Feast of Trumpets fell on, that was also a day to do no regular work. However, though, it did not mean take off your regular work and do whatever you want. Let's go a little further, you'll see what I mean. Keep in mind again that these feasts were annual appointments that God had made with his people. So the idea was, have a day of rest for the purpose of having a sacred assembly. So when they gathered for the sacred assembly, one of the primary things they did on trumpets, they were looking back to God's awesome work of creation. But how can we think of creation, though, without thinking about mankind's horrible fall into sin? And how can we think about the horrible fall into sin without thinking about God's great work in order to promise his Son to be the Savior of the entire world? We should have at least one day every year where we are doing that same kind of remembrance. Let's think about Americans for a moment, how many of them go through a typical Monday through Friday week. So God has given them life in the first place. God has given them good health. God has given them abilities. God has given them jobs. And then, thinking about the 7 days of the week, they typically begin their work week on day number two. Sunday is day number one. Monday is day number two. So they work on days 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, thus Monday through Friday. And then God blesses them, as we think about the New Testament era, God blesses them with Saturday. That is the weekend. That is the final day of the week. And they have an opportunity on that day, after working Monday through Friday, now on Saturday they can mow the grass and they can do all the things they need to do to close out the week. The other thing they should be doing on Saturday is making some preparation for Sunday, which is the week beginning. And then, after 6 days of blessings, what do over 80% of Americans do? Very sadly, they completely ignore the Almighty God who made them, who is sustaining them, and who is offering them the gift of eternal life. How do they ignore him? They ignore him by not taking advantage of that day off to gather for divine service, by not taking advantage of that day off in order to study his holy word, by not supporting the work of God's kingdom here in this place and around the world. What are the excuses? I've heard so many of them. I hear excuses like sleep, work, school, sports, camping, breakfast, friends, family. Somehow the excuses sound legitimate, but God wants us to know those excuses do not square with His holy word. God calls us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And furthermore, God is saying, gather in my presence. God is not saying, gather so I can get something from you. Rather, God is saying, I love you. I want to bless you. I want to bless you now and forever. So gather in my presence and receive my eternal blessings. It's a very positive thing. And then what about the others? What about the less than 20% of Americans? Those are people who acknowledge God's blessings, who express their love for God, who gladly gather to focus on and receive the blessings of God's holy word. Going on to Micah chapter 7, this is a typical passage read on the Feast of Trumpets. It says, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea." So today when you came in, all of you were to receive a large rock. What's the idea? Some people, on the Feast of Trumpets, they take a large rock, based here on Micah chapter 7, and they write their sins on that rock. You can use a felt-tip pen, maybe write very small, but give it some thought. Give it some prayer. Take a look into God's Word, and He makes our sins known to us. Let us write them down. Let us be sorry for them. Let us know they are ultimately against the Almighty God. And then, having written them on the rock, I would encourage you, take a trip to Lake Erie or to some other body of water and cast that rock into that body of water. And as it goes under the water, let's think about the passage in the Old Testament where God says, He takes our sins, He casts them into the deepest part of the ocean, and then He puts up a sign that says, "No fishing." God wants us to know that we have sinned. He wants us to know that our sins were put upon Jesus. Jesus was punished in our place, and through Him, our sins are removed. Our sins are forgiven, but only through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we do not have God's wonderful gift of forgiveness. Also, too, as we think about this first fall festival of trumpets, it points ahead to the second fall festival, which is the Day of Atonement. Some people have a practice of really focusing on repentance between now and the Day of Atonement. There are 10 days in between. So what some people do is they are reading the Bible day by day. God is showing them their sin. They're sorry for those sins. And they're looking to Jesus Christ. And they're getting ready to celebrate that second fall festival. May God guide us in such ways. We now come to the third and final part today. We come to the phrase trumpet blasts. And God wants us to know that those trumpet blasts, they will accompany the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to turn with me at this time. I want to read a short reading here out of Genesis chapter 22. We're looking at the account where God told Abraham to take his son Isaac, his only son, take him to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. The Bible says, I pick up partway through, "Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place, God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. God wants us to see from that account, it's talking about a ram, it's pointing to the Feast of Trumpets in two different ways. First of all, as we think about the ram that God provided, that's pointing to Jesus Christ, who is referred to in the Bible as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And then as we think about the horns on the ram, that brings us to today, which is trumpets. Something that's done on trumpets is to take a ram's horn and to make a trumpet out of it and to blow it in a special way on that day. A ram's horn sounds something like this. As we think about the ram's horn, that sound should remind us about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have some passages I want to share with you here that talk about the blowing of the horn, and they point to the return of Jesus. First of all, in Psalm 81, the Bible says, "Sing for joy to God our strength, shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourine, play the melodious harp and lyre, sound the ram's horn at the new moon on the day of our feast." You can see those components there pointing directly to the Feast of Trumpets. Going to the New Testament, we go to 1 Corinthians 15, oftentimes known as the resurrection chapter, and the Bible says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep." That means we will not all physically die, but it goes on to say, we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So God wants us to know that in connection with the last trumpet, Jesus will return, all the dead will be raised, and the final verdict will be given to each person. To few, Jesus will say, "I know you. Come in and be with me forever." But to the many, the Bible says, Jesus will say to them, "I don't know you. Depart from me." What a sad thing. So important to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply to know about him, but to know him, to have a relationship with him, to allow God to speak to us through his holy word, and for us to speak back to him in prayer, and to have this wonderful relationship. God is calling everyone into that relationship with him. And then going to one final passage today, we find ourselves in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." So again, it talked about the trumpet call of God. And when we hear that trumpet call, that is when Jesus will come down from heaven. He will bring with him the souls of all who have died trusting in Christ. All of the dead will be raised, and then all believers, all who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, they will then be with God forevermore. Bad news for the others. God is saying to us, don't be one of the others. Know Jesus Christ. Know him today and continue in him always by my power, with my blessing, through my word. Finally, in conclusion, let me give you something to think about here. As we think about Jesus rising from the dead, God wants us to know that Jesus rose on the very feast of first fruits. So when we think about the spring feasts, we have Passover, unleavened bread, and then on the Sunday, right after unleavened bread, that is the festival of first fruits, and that is the day. That is Easter Sunday. That is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So taking it further then, there are a number of people that would say, just as he rose on the very festival of first fruits, so Jesus will come again on the very festival of trumpets. Well, according to the Hebrew calendar, this coming Thursday, September 25th, that is the Feast of Trumpets. So does that mean in 4 days the world will end, Jesus will return, all people will be judged, and those who are found to know Jesus will be with him forever, and those who are found lacking will be apart from him forever? I'm not predicting that, but that is possible. Therefore, it is so important that we live in constant readiness. How do we do that? God wants us to continue in his word, and as God shows us our sins, he wants us to be continually sorry. As God shows us our sins, he wants us to continue to look to Jesus Christ with faith, with confidence, to know we are forgiven. And then God wants us to know that stopping there, we are ready. But between now and the time Jesus comes, what are we to do with that time? We are to thank and praise our great God for having made us ready, having promised us the gift of eternal life. So now we want to seek to know and to follow whatever his will is for our lives. Never to be saved, but we want to know and follow that will, because in fact, in Jesus Christ, we are saved. We do have God's gift of eternal life. Amen. Thanks for listening. Here are various ways that you can connect with us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Go to our website, benefitfromthebible.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Search for Benefit from the Bible. Send your questions to questions@benefitfromthebible.com. If you have a church, be faithful, attend. If you do not have a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We're located on State Road in Parma, just south of Pleasant Valley Road. We have services on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock and at 10:45. Then in between at 9:30, we have Bible class. Also, on Monday evenings, we have worship at 7 p.m. Please join us. If you live far away, we encourage you to find a church in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.